The comments heard on The View from a Pew are those of Mac McCoy and are not necessarily the opinions of his guests, his producer Garth, any one particular denomination or religion, the church lady, Mr. Lemke, Pastor Craig, or anyone else of sound mind and body. Now, here is today's The View from a Pew, heard all around the world on YouTube. Just search for The View from a Pew. I'm calling the angels down. I'm storming the gates of hell. Tell the devil he don't own my soul. I'm taking back what the enemy stole. I'm raising the battle cry. I'm holding the banner high. With the power of the Holy Ghost, I'm taking back what the enemy stole.
Oh, 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 oh. Good afternoon. This is The View from a Pew, live around the world on YouTube, Facebook, and now on the incredible Roku channel we have. Roku. Oh, jeez. It's on the TV. Roku. R-O-K-U. And just search for The View from a Pew. You know, one of the topics that we talk about here on The View from a Pew is the fact that it's time for Christians, and if you don't agree with that, then you weren't called to do this, and it's okay. I've been called to try to show my audience, you, that things that the devil has taken from you, take an easy one. You're overweight. You smoke. You drink too much. Those are things that the devil has given you because he's taken away some of your grace and mercy that God gave you. But he's also taken away our children. I mean, I'm young enough where I can remember, or I guess I'm old enough, that I can remember that they started taking God out of schools. And that was about 60, 70 years ago. So here's my question. How you doing with that? You know, we always ask ourselves in a political contest, well, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? Well, are our children better off today than they were 70 years ago? No, it's messed up because God's been removed. And now you could just wake up in the morning and decide, I think I'll be identified as a girl today, or I'll be identified as a cat. And our society thinks that's okay. Well, there's no God in that. So one of the things we talk about on this program is not just what's in the Bible and how it talks about it, but it's also hopefully strengthening you. If you are a Facebook friend of mine, go to a post I put up yesterday. It's about spiritual warfare, and it's not too long, and I think you'll enjoy it. So you'll kind of get an idea of where that comes from. My guest host, of course, is Gary Hutchins from Sunny Slope Church of Christ. Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 10:30, 6 o'clock on Wednesday nights.
Sunday nights.
6 o'clock on
Sunday
nights, and then 6:30 on Wednesday.
Correct.
One of these days I'm going to get that right. And today we're talking about what does the Bible say about forgiveness. Gary is the chief theologian here, and I like to hear what he has to say. What does the Bible say about forgiveness?
Well, as we introduced this subject last time, Mac, we talked about the first thing we need to come to reality with is we need to recognize that we need forgiveness, that we're sinners. And that's everybody. You know, when Paul wrote in Romans 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that left out nobody. And in verse 9, he said, you know, verses 9 and 10, he said, there is none righteous, no, not one. Outside of Christ, none of us are righteous.
Yeah.
And so we need to recognize we are sinners in need of forgiveness. You know, what is one of the biggest impediments for an alcoholic or a drug addict getting straight? They've got to recognize first that they're an alcoholic or a drug addict,
right,
and that they're out of control.
Yep.
And then they can start to seek the help that they need to get straight. Well, for us to recognize that we're sinners is basic and fundamental to our seeking forgiveness. We need to recognize that there's only one source through which we can be forgiven, and that's Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He is God the Son. He is our Lord. In prophecy of his coming to this earth, Isaiah 53, and I know you like this chapter.
I love this. Just my
favorite.
We've
done an exegesis on this before. Yeah. And so I'm just going to read verses 4 through 6.
Yeah, this is the prediction, the prophecy of who the Savior will be. Not by name, but by who. And if you listen to how Isaiah is told by God to describe him, I don't know how they missed it. It was Jesus. But
yeah,
go ahead.
Because he fulfilled every promise.
Every promise.
And so verses 4 through 6, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And this would be parallel to, in a much more succinct form, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, where the Apostle Paul said, speaking of Jesus, that God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us.
Yeah.
And he didn't mean that he made Jesus to be sinful, but he meant he bore. And you talk about a mind-blowing understanding. He bore the guilt of your sins and my sins and the sins of all humanity, whoever lived up until that time, who were living on that day, and who would ever live till he comes again on the final day of judgment. He bore all of that guilt on him. And why could he do that? Because he's the Savior. He's God the Son. And he was absolutely sinless. Absolutely sinless in human form.
Hanging on that cross at one point, right before Jesus took his last breath, he said, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? And the image that I see in my head, and tell me if this is wrong, God turned his head away from him. And that's the first time he and Jesus had ever been separated.
God had to let him die on that cross.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus knew what was going to happen before he ever came to this earth.
Right.
But in that moment, we see, and even in the garden before that moment, we see the humanity of Jesus being expressed, Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done.
Yeah.
And then, as you said, why have you forsaken me? There's the humanity. When he died on that cross, don't sterilize that. He died one of the most agonizing, brutal, torturous, inhumane forms of execution that humanity has ever known.
And whether you like Mel Gibson or not, that movie, what was that called?
The Passion of the
Christ. Passion of the Christ. When you see what Christ had to do to get on that cross for us, he got his behind kicked times 10.
Just the scourging before going to that cross. I suspect a lot of people died just from the scourging. They didn't even make it, you know, to the cross because it was so brutal. But think about all of the passages of Scripture, and the book of Hebrews is full of them, but Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels in that he took human form, made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone.
Yep.
He bore our sins. He died for you and for me. Now, somebody says, well, I don't believe in Jesus. He died for you anyway.
Yeah.
Now, you may not accept that death. You may not take advantage of it, but he died for you.
Yep.
The most heinous criminal that we could imagine, he died for that criminal. Now, that criminal may not take advantage of it, may not come to Jesus for forgiveness as his Savior, but he died for him anyway. It's up to the individual to make that move in his life to come to his Lord and Savior. But there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4 and verse 12. He is the Savior. And you have some world religions that absolutely reject him as being God the Son and the Savior.
Yep.
Jesus said, look, let me tell you something. And he was saying this to Jewish people at this particular time. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Yeah.
He is our only Savior.
Now, Gary Hutchins is my co-host today, as always. Sunny Slope Church of Christ. His is in Omaha, Nebraska. That's where the show comes from. Sundays, 9:30, 10:30. Sunday night,
6 o'clock.
And Wednesday nights,
6:30.
That's the only way I can get that right. See, so... All right, so again, I want to break it down like I'm talking to a six-year-old. Jesus already forgave you. Jesus already died for all of the sins. You cannot take him and put him back up on the cross and ask for a little more blood because you don't think so-and-so, your mother, your father, your neighbor, your son, your pastor, whoever it is, you don't think they've done what they need to do to be forgiven. And God says, well, wait a minute. I'm going to forgive you as you forgive others. And we say that all the time in the Lord's Prayer. And I want you to think about that. How you forgive your ex. How you forgive your grandfather who's passed on years ago but left you and wounded you. Somebody at work. Just all of that. If you ever hear anybody say, well, I'll never forgive that person. Here's my question. If they never forgive that person, they're never going to be forgiven and they won't be in heaven.
Don't expect to be forgiven by God if you can't forgive whoever it is that needs your forgiveness. Yeah.
Now, I want to ask something carefully. Salvation is his free gift to us because he died on the cross. But there, if you don't forgive, correct, that you don't have that salvation. Now, is that...
That the scriptures say that a number of times.
Okay.
You cannot be forgiven if you're not willing to forgive.
Yeah.
What a horrible reason to spend eternity in hell.
Yeah.
I couldn't forgive that person. I couldn't, whatever the problem was between you and that person, I couldn't forgive them. All right, so you're going to spend eternity in hell because you would not let go of that hatred, bitterness, that mindset that whatever they did to you, it could have been horrible, but you can't let it go. And so because you can't let it go, you're going to spend eternity in hell.
And I would add that that's when Satan starts whispering in your ear, oh, you'll be fine. God loves you. Jesus did that thing and you're forgiven. Don't listen to the Bible or the preachers. Don't be that naive, for God's sakes. And I mean that in that way, for heaven's sakes. Understand, scripture says you could murder somebody. You can be married 6 times. You can have DUIs. You could have had abortion. And God will forgive you and bring you into heaven. But if you don't forgive others, he won't forgive you.
Yeah. How many times do we sin against God? Now remember what David said there in that psalm. Against you, you only have we sinned, or have I sinned. Now, how many times do we sin against God, and we want his forgiveness?
Yeah.
And maybe this one person, you say, they did such and such to me, or maybe they did something several times, 5 times, 10 times? Do you think you may sin against God 5 or 10 times a day? And he wants to forgive you if you will come to him through Jesus, his way for forgiveness, and he will forgive you. He promises he'll forgive you. But you can't let that go. The devil's got hold of you.
All right, Gary Hutchins is here. I'm Mac McCoy. If I haven't told you lately, I love this job. Couldn't do it without you. It's The View from a Pew. If you write that down, The View from a Pew, you will always be able to search any podcast site, 27 or so, YouTube, it's on YouTube. It's also on our Roku channel at The View from a Pew. When we come back, well, how do I get started to forgive somebody? How do I make this work? And how do I forgive myself? Do I need to forgive myself? Those are the struggles that Satan puts you through, because the Lord's Prayer made it easy. For those that trespass against you, forgive them as I will forgive you. That's
That's that. Yeah, I'm sorry, but it's that easy. You get stuff, you get resentments all caught up in your head, and you carry those around. Do you really think you're hurting the person that you can't forgive? No, they don't even know. They don't care. They would just like you to have Jesus in their lives so you can learn to forgive, which is a natural thing for Christians to do. So when we come back, we'll lay out the ABCs and the 1-2-3s. Thanks for listening. This is The View from a Pew right here on your local radio station, as well as all the pod sites and everything. Love to hear from you. It's Mac, M-A-C, like macaroni, at theviewfromapew.com. And our thanks to the folks at DivineTruthChristianStore.com. Anything you want online, it's always there. Give them a call, and thanks for listening.
Divine Truth Christian Store, where you'll find more.